The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Where in the Constitution does it say that the Secretary of State can override the First Amendment protections of free speech? Is there a footnote that I missed
there's
somewhere?
No constitutional right to a student visa.
Is there a constitutional right? Does it say somewhere that Marco Rubio gets to determine which speech is appropriate and revoke student visas based on what you think constitutes free speech?
There's a statute that says the Secretary of State gets to determine whether someone is a threat. We deny visas every day all over the world.
Do you think that the Immigration and Nationality Act trumps the Constitution of the United States, Mr. Secretary?
Well, Congress can always change the law if you want, but I'm telling you,
Mr. Secretary, I will continue
to revoke the visas of these people that come here to
tear
this country.
You said that, Mr. Secretary. Let me reclaim my time, because you are talking about revoking student visas based on what somebody says, and that means that you are trumping the legal Supreme Court, the supreme law of the land, which is the Constitution of the United States.
That was Democrat Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal during a committee meeting with Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Rubio was before the House Committee on Foreign Affairs about the visa revocation of Rumeyza Ozturk, a Tufts University student from Turkey who was dramatically pulled off the streets in Massachusetts. The concerns of students in the US have trickled back to Ireland, with growing anxiety over Irish students about to head out to the United States on a J-1 visa. So what are the do's and don'ts for students spending their summers in the United States? For more on this, I'm joined by Louise Corrigan, who's an immigration lawyer, by Oisin Gaffney, outgoing editor-in-chief of the University Observer at UCD, and Alex Rowley, who's News Talk reporter. You've heard his voice many times on the airways. Now, good morning and welcome, one and all. Alex, you're heading to the States. Are you apprehensive?
I think we all are at this stage, because it's so uncertain. I mean, I was only listening to your program on the way in, and you can see how Trump is able to click his fingers and pause tariffs for even more days. This is quite much of a lesser issue when it comes to student visas. As you mentioned, that Turkish student as well, who was pulled off the street. I think everybody's seen that video as well.
Well, I suppose we should hark back to what he did last week with Harvard, saying that they may no longer have an intake of foreign students, and those who are there have to find another college. I mean, this is crazy stuff.
Absolutely. And this is people who are enrolled in universities and actually have a place in the university.
And who were examined, their visa applications would have been examined in that process to qualify to enter the United States.
Exactly. So you can imagine how somebody who's going over just for a few weeks in the summer, whether it be a J-1 or even just a small holiday for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, how apprehensive they feel, considering that we've had warnings from the USI about not to engage in activism. Now, in fairness, Pat, I've spoken to a lot of my friends over the weekend. I don't know anybody who's planning to go over and protest.
J-1 is not about protesting normally. It's about having a jolly.
Yeah, exactly. It's about, you know, getting experience working abroad. It's about going partying and having the crack with your friends and just exactly making memories, which is what Simon Harris was saying as well, is he wants people to, I think they're quite anxious in the Department of Foreign Affairs that they might have some more consular assistance cases on their hands, you know, given
the whole idea of the J-1 program was to bring young people to the United States who have a summer to spend, they get a J-1 visa, they get to know the American way. In fact, they become disciples almost for America. They're enthused by their American experience. They go back to their home countries. And if you like, it's a kind of an inverse use of soft power.
Exactly. And, you know, you bring the experiences of America back home and you tell them what it's like over there. And then for some people as well, they might decide, well, this is actually where I want to make my life. I want to go back and I want to try and get a green card and then get citizenship as well and contribute to the American economy and help that country prosper. So it's madness that people are now apprehensive about going based on what they might have put in their Instagram story, you know.
And that's the question. I mean, how far back would they go? Or can you just make everything so private that even the immigration people can't get at your social media?
Well, this is it. I mean, Louise can speak to this a bit more. But as far as I know, if you're going over the border, they probably have the right to search your phone and have a look through. And when you go onto your Instagram, this is why we were told to delete all of our social media apps as we're going through, because you might have somebody who might have shared, you know, some of the desperate scenes that we've seen in Gaza on our social media, which we're all very entitled to do and draw attention to the catastrophe that's happening over there. And yet we can be penalised and said, no, sorry, you're not coming through.
Oisin, what is the advice that was proposed by your paper?
Well, our paper advised to consolidate all the information that's out there, whether it be from the USI or the Department of Foreign Affairs. It's to know your rights and to know what you're getting yourself into when you go out there to protect yourself. But I think the main concerns are, you know, people experiencing issues over their visa, over historic social media content that you spoke to. Obviously, the USI have spoken out about the free ability to express their views, but also issued a concern that, you know, they wouldn't necessarily be advising students to partake in activism while they're out there on their J1 over the summer.
Well, I can speak with some experience. Way back when the Vietnam War was underway, I was in the United States as a postgraduate student. And there's no question a lot of the student body were involved in protesting the Vietnam War. And when I was there, there was a massacre of students at Kent State University. So, I mean, you know, the idea that you're not allowed to open your gob in today's America is abhorrent, really. But this is what Trump and Rubio are laying down.
Yeah, and I think part of it comes down to, okay, this ruling that it's content that is defined as anti-American or anti-Trump. And there's just a lot of uncertainty at the moment as what does that mean? You know, somebody who's expressing their solidarity with Palestinians, is that now constituted as anti-American, as anti-Trump? So there's just a lot of uncertainty. People don't know what they're going to experience when they're over there. And
I don't know what particularly you're worried about, but suppose you had that meme of Trump as the Pope, mm-hmm. when he posted that himself. Like, he didn't invent it, but he saw it and he copied it and released it on Truth Social. I mean, for him to do it is okay, but if an Irish student did it, it might be deemed as insulting to him.
Exactly. And it's just that uncertainty. It's that juxtaposition. People don't really know what to expect. And as your top story this morning shows that, you know, at the click of his fingers, things can change very, very quickly. Mm. And a J1 over the course of 4 months, that's a long time to be out there when things are changing.
Alex, what sort of things do you think your generation are worried about that might be on social media?
I think it's mainly Gaza is what, because that's what a lot of the protests have caused issues for students in America have happened. As I said, I don't think anybody's going on a J1 or even a holiday to go over and protest in America. But we, you know, every single day I see what is happening in Gaza through Instagram, on Instagram stories. And all it is showing solidarity. There's no, you know, nobody is inciting violence. Nobody is inciting hate speech against the American people. Nobody is harming the American society in any way. And, you know, at most, people might criticize Trump on the socials. But again, even at that, a lot of my friends aren't doing that. It's literally the basic human thing of showing solidarity with people who are being massacred. And yet, somehow, that is a worry then for us that it might upset the Americans and they might not let us in. Or send us home while we're there.
Louise is the expert on this, an immigration lawyer. Louise, what rights do people have? And is there any chance that they'd ever be able to vindicate those rights if they were picked up?
So, yeah, I mean, it's not that the rules have changed necessarily or that, I mean, the J1 program continues to operate the way it always did. And free speech rights apply across the board. But the difference is that the risks have changed for those who are in the US on visas now. So if a US citizen engages in certain activities, he or she will be treated differently to somebody who's there on a visa. And so I think talked about in the audio at the beginning, there's been a massive increase in the number of student visas revoked in recent months. And the basis for these revocations that's been given is that there was a perceived threat to national security or something that was contrary to US interests. So I think the main thing for students who are pursuing J1 visas or going out as students, graduate or otherwise, is to just be aware that the risks are different. It's not that the laws are different, but the interpretation of the laws now is different. And we're seeing, you know, enhanced vetting at the ports of entry and just a different interpretation of how those laws and how rights
now,
are vindicated.
Most people who are heading on J1s will probably exit via Dublin or mm-hmm. Shannon, where you have mm-hmm. Pre-clearance. Is that the end of it? If you get through pre-clearance, are you in?
You are in. So, I mean, that is one of the good things about being an Irish J1 student.
So you won't be sent home from an airport at your own expense.
Yeah, so if anything happens, you just get turned around and you can go home. For students who don't, we're lucky to be one of the few countries where we have pre-clearance. And so you're not going to find yourself on US soil and then in detention. So the risk of detention falls away. But on the US side, I mean, I still think there is an extra degree of caution that should be exercised and to be really aware of the terms of the visa, understand how the program works. There is an ongoing monitoring process. So the SEVIS, the Student and Exchange Visitor Information System, that's a mechanism by which they continue to upload information, record information and track participants in the program throughout the duration of their time in the US. And so it's very important to make sure you're informing your sponsor of any changes as they occur.
What sort of changes now?
So, for example, like a change of address, that needs to be recorded in the system. There are some changes as well that might require prior authorization. So a conversation with your sponsor, employer or organization before such changes would be worth having if there's proposed change to the employment.
Do people typically change jobs when they're over on the J1?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, it's...
like they arrive someplace and the job is not as advertised or is...
Yeah, I think now it's even more important just to only work for the sponsor. And if there is a change, make sure it's discussed with the sponsor first and prior authorization is got beforehand so that it's...
What kind of information are you getting from people who've gone through the pre-clearance as to the type of questions that are now being asked compared to before?
Yeah, I think it really depends. I mean, people are being admitted to the US in their hundreds of thousands every day without issue. Yeah. But we're reading about the stops and the searches of, of phones and devices. And we're reading about the detentions. And that's why the anxiety has increased so significantly in recent months, because that's what we're hearing about. But if there's no issue, if you've never had an immigration violation or an issue with getting a visa before, or any contact with the criminal justice system, there's no reason to believe you won't get through fine. If there is an issue, if there's anything at all that happened in the past that you think could be a problem, it is definitely worth having a discussion with an immigration attorney before making any applications.
Now, Oisin, I mean, your University Observer newspaper, there may have been editorials about Gaza.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I can think of our second volume. We had it was 1 year on from October 7th, so we had a big front page spread. Editorials, I've written opinion columns, criticising the US administration.
So you're not heading on a J1 this year?
I am not heading on a J1 this year, that is for sure. But that's something that's come up, is that people who are applying for jobs or applying for J1s in America, have come to me and asked, could this article be taken down or could their name be removed from it? This just speaks to the worries that students have, that things are going to be traced back to them and things that would ordinarily be okay. Like, okay, they might be a bit controversial, but should be okay. That's now a big worry for them, is that they're not going to get access to their J1s.
It's almost like the thought police are in action. Yeah. It really is. So we have no record yet, Louise, of people actually being turned back, have we? It's too early in the J1 season, as it were.
Not that I'm aware of yet, anyway, yeah.
Now, if you are picked up, I mean, suppose you're D&D, drunk and disorderly or something, and you're picked up by the local cops, what happens to you? Typically, are you sent home?
It depends. So, yeah, it depends. I think it's important. And I would say to students going out there now, even if you've never needed an immigration attorney before, have contact details for somebody, because it's important to have a conversation with an expert if you're in that situation and be able to get the right advice as to how to deal with it. You limit the conversation as much as you can, I suppose, to the extent that you're comfortable doing so. Deportations can be triggered in certain circumstances. It depends on how you've entered and what your status is. But I think, making sure that you keep the sponsor updated of anything that happens like that as well and get advice.
What help will the Department of Foreign Affairs offer students in that situation who get into some sort of trouble? If they're in the United States and, the parents ring up Ivy House here and say, look, young John or young Emma is in trouble. Mm-hmm. They've been picked up by Homeland Security and they're in detention in Louisiana or somewhere, even though they went to Boston.
Yeah, I think the first thing is that they need to find someone they can speak to and help them get an immigration attorney that can go meet with them and find out what happened and then try and navigate them through the process. So I hope that's kind of the first protocol. And to the extent that they can then, deal with the arrest and detention and and get it resolved in a way that isn't going to have long-term consequences for them in terms of getting visas in the future or being able to travel into the US down the line.
Now, some of the comments coming in. Why go to America to live and work? Less annual leave and fewer public holidays. Healthcare is a disaster. The president is a clown and rent can be much the same as it is here. Canada, a much better option. That's from M in Leash. Next one. I'd be intrigued to know if there are any cases where students with pro-Trump social media material are given any special treatment in their visa applications or entering the States. That's from Patrick in Ballybrack. We don't know that,
do we? I'm not aware of any, no.
The parallels between travelling to America now and arriving in 1930s Germany are absolutely frightening, so says Dev. We have chosen to be mute if we enter the US. We will do so on their terms. For goodness sake, get your J1, go to the USA and enjoy every minute. Have a bit of common sense while you're there. Protest all you like when you come back. I heard a story about an American man attending a wedding here last weekend. His girlfriend didn't come with him as she has a green card and was terrified that she would not get back to the USA if she travelled. That is a common...
Yeah, that's a very real concern and we're hearing more of that. Just people just deciding, I don't absolutely have to go right now, so I'm just not going to go. And it's because the stories that we're reading about are fueling that anxiety hugely. So I can understand where it's coming from. And I guess the bottom line is that, again, if there was an issue, nearly always there was something in the past that is triggering a stop and a detention or, you know, seizure of devices and that sort of thing. So I think that's where it's worth making sure you understand
that. The worry,
I
think, is that we expect if something happened to you here and you were picked up by the police, there would be due process. Mm-hmm. The fear now is that in Trump's America, there is not necessarily due process. That's the worry.
Yeah, there are. I mean, there's executive orders being issued so regularly that are changing the landscape, you know, every day. But it is also worth bearing in mind that there is a judicial system in place that is there to facilitate challenges to that. And even just with the Harvard thing last week, we saw on the Tuesday or Wednesday where the service certification was withdrawn. But within 24 hours, the lawsuit was filed and a judge had ordered to block that, so they couldn't do it. So,
but the question is, for how long will the Trump administration respect the rule of law and the courts? Look, thanks very much, Alex. Wish you the best of luck in getting in.
We'll see.
Alex Rowley, who works on News Talk, he's a News Talk reporter. Louise Corrigan, immigration lawyer, and Oisin Gaffney, outgoing editor-in-chief of the University Observer.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.